Good
Muy buenas
evening.
noches, amigos
That's
y amigas,
right.
amantes de
Tonight
la
was
lucha
Extreme
libre.
Rules.
Bienvenidos.
Extreme Rules. I mean, this is how we do it these days.
Extremas.
God bless Peacock.
We gotta stay on brand. We gotta stay on brand. So.
God bless Peacock. I mean, I don't even know. Obviously, if you're not getting this joke. Bless you, I guess, because you did not have to go through some of the trials and tribulations that some people had tonight, trying to watch the pre-show and some of the main part of the show of WWE Extreme Rules on the wonderful, the critically acclaimed Peacock Network. I'm Justin Labar. He is Alfred Cunningham. She is Issa, the New York City Demon Diva, and we're here tonight on Wrestling Inc. If you're watching it live, you can see one beautiful face and two other faces. Or if you're checking it out after the fact, you might be listening to the audio only and passing the time by. Whatever the case may be, we're here to liven it up and entertain you and put a more positive, entertaining spin on Extreme Rules 2021. Issa, on a scale of 1 to 10, how extreme did you feel tonight was?
I mean, I don't know. Towards the end there, I thought my edibles were a little too strong. I didn't know what I was watching there in the main event for a minute. Outside of that, it didn't feel very extreme, but we did have a lot of good in-ring action. I'm going to give it a 5 in an extreme level.
Alfred, what's been more extreme tonight? WWE Extreme Rules or the referees in your Sunday night football game?
Oh, certainly the referees. They've been extremely awful in terms of their officiating. I wish they would just get out of the way. But in terms of Extreme Rules, it wasn't very extreme. I think, Easy, you're being a little nice saying it was 5 out of 10, but the crowd was really hot. One of the better crowds WWE has had all year.
Yeah, that was true. Yeah, Columbus was rock and roll, and they had some interesting chants. They were invested in it. I mean, so this is still one of the positive results of the honeymoon phase of returning to the road for WWE. Is obviously a Columbus fan. This is the first time WWE's been to Columbus. I don't think AEW's been to Columbus. So obviously a hot crowd. So and to Issa's point, I mean, you know, some good in-ring action. And that's been another 2021 theme, is that we've seen some pay-per-views that have been barely hyped, if hyped at all. But still, if you do tune in, we'll deliver a solid bell-to-bell product, whether or not it's predictable or progressing the story. We'll debate each of those as we go. But yeah, I mean, you know, this was not a bad show to watch. There were some question marks, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah, agreed. I wish they would have done a few things differently, especially the last two matches. While I felt they were the matches that we were looking forward to the most, with the weird finishes, they should have just put them a little spread apart.
Yeah, you know, and normally when we do these podcasts, before we get to the actual show, we would roll out some news headlines. In the script, we did not actually prepare to do any news headlines because really, since Friday, since you guys last did Friday, I mean, there hasn't been a whole lot of news that's really came out. Everything's just been kind of, you know, just building to whatever's going to happen tonight. Just kind of, you know, what's the match tonight? The one news story that I was like, I don't know if it's worth bringing up, but I'm going to bring it up now because it's going to tie all the way back into this show. The one news story I'll give is that the newest Broken Skull Sessions with Stone Cold Steve Austin, which is playing right now on Peacock. It released today with he and Seth Rollins. And one of the first quotes that Wrestling Inc. had put out from this interview that I'm going to check out in full is Seth Rollins talking about the famous Hell in a Cell match with The Fiend, Bray Wyatt. And that's, of course, if you guys recall, the famous the match got stopped. A Hell in a Cell match got stopped. You know, Foley had to keep going. Rikishi had to keep going. Triple H all the Hell in a Cells, but this one had to be stopped due to the massive sledgehammer. And Seth Rollins talked about how he went through the curtain and he was ready to strangle Vince McMahon. That's the news headline. You can read more about it on Wrestling Inc. We'll talk more about that once we get to the finish of this show tonight as we look at questionable Papa Shango booking. There's your tease.
Response to this, Bray Wyatt's response, where he said, I wish they would have seen my reaction or some, wait till you hear my reaction. So I'm actually looking very much forward to hearing that.
Yeah, and that's crazy because, you know, out of those two participants, out of Seth Rollins and out of Fiend, I thought for sure we would hear the first of the two to talk about this incident would be Bray Wyatt or Wyndham, whatever we're going to call him, because he is now no longer with the company. So I'm kind of surprised that Seth pulled the trigger first on pulling the curtain back on that, you know, one of the worst booking decisions in recent memory. So we'll, cool. that, That's the tease. Stick around for the next hour. We got some fun to get to, at least our definition of fun. All right. So we kick it off, boys and girls. This is a match that gets made due to the pre-show, due to shenanigans happening. We get this awesome opening match. It is awesome. I'm not being facetious. Of the New Day, of course, with your new WWE champion and Big E, up against the trio of Bobby Lashley, AJ Styles, and Omos. Now, there was some scuffles that went on in the pre-show. So here we get this six-man tag to hit to lead the show off. The story here is all about Lashley just wants vengeance. He is out for vengeance to Big E, who he feels stole that world title from him last week. All in all, the right thing happens here is that we are going to see Lashley is going to spear AJ by accident. That's then going to let Big E get his Big E finish, big ending finish on Bobby Lashley. So Big E stands tall, getting the pin here. Alfred, I'll start with you. This was, you know, this was an interesting match to put in last minute. A lot of guys to protect here. You have Big E, obviously, to protect your new champion. You have Omos, who's the long-term protecting project. And to an extent, you have Lashley to maybe protect and how you quickly handle him having lost the title after a very long, lengthy title run. What did you make of this opening?
I really love this opening. I thought that, like you said, it was last minute. I don't like the fact they just threw this on there, but at least the WWE champion got to have himself a pretty good match at Extreme Rules in a good spot in terms of opening the show because of how hot this crowd was. And I think they did a good job showcasing all the stars in terms of this match, whether it was a New Day, whether it was Omos, whether it was a showdown with Big E and Lashley. I thought they built up to a lot of that stuff. And I think just coming away from this match, a lot of guys came off as big stars in this match. I kind of like how they built up possibly a triple threat, but it's good that Big E got himself a pretty big win over Lashley. You can question the booking of him pinning Lashley, but I really do think that this might have been a make good for him, you know, really not getting a win this past Monday, because I was very scratching my head in terms of Roman Reigns coming away as a winner on a Raw type feud. But on this match, I thought they did a lot of good in terms of showcasing Big E as a big star.
Yeah, I agree. I really, really enjoyed this match. I thought a lot of people looked good, but like you said, there was a lot of people to protect. The New Day gear always pops me every single time. They're awesome. I love the way that Big E looked in this match. Question a little bit the way that Bobby Lashley was acting later on. If Big E would have pinned AJ after AJ took the spear, then it would make sense that Big E is stealing wins around here, right? But he pinned Bobby Lashley, so I get it. He's upset, but to me, Big E looks very strong right now. I hated that commentary is already teasing the New Day breaking up again due to the brand split or the draft coming up. I don't want them to break up. We already had them apart for too long. Keep them together. They're great together. But yeah, fun opener, hot crowd for it. It was great for something that we weren't even expecting to see.
Yeah, Issa, you and I were right here because that was my transition was, you know, why pin Bobby? Based upon what we're about to get to with the backstage promos, pin AJ. Just reverse the finish. Have AJ accidentally hit Lashley, and then AJ fumbles into the Big E finish. So yeah, a little questionable there. And yeah, you noted the draft. You know, so that was the thing. Commentary, Corey was really leaning heavy on this might be the last time we see New Day together. Yeah. And so the draft starting this Friday. So Friday, and then it's going to go into the following Monday. So we'll see. I think at this point with New Day, I think, you know, they've been around by today's measurement. I mean, since I think late 2014, by modern standards measurement, that's an eternity in WWE. You know, with the amount of programming they have, I think now I wouldn't be surprised if they've collectively gone to Vince and said, "We will never break up. You can have each of us be. Yeah, you can have each of us be.
Have.
Yeah, we'll all be single stars if you want to branch us out." But we're not going to do the cliched somebody stabs the other one in the back. And, you know, maybe when they go in the Hall of Fame, they'll make a joke out of it and they'll turn on each other quickly at the Hall of Fame stage or something. But I think at this point,
that would be great.
Yeah, I think at this point they're focused on remaining intact because it's just that's the most believable and that's the best thing for business, pun intended.
Yeah, and it also makes them all come off as bigger stars in terms of this iteration of the New Day, especially in front of this crowd, came off like a super group. Like, I felt like I was watching the Fugees come back together after they all went across and had their own singles career, and now they're even bigger stars. It was really cool.
Some super chats here. Hojo to go. Balinski, $5. Alfred, the first San Fran touchdown should have been a penalty at a 10-second runoff intentional.
Tell me.
Alfred, of course, if you can't.
They're awful. Still throwing flags, by the way. Terrible officiating tonight.
Man, Alfred's calling AEW officiating happening out here in the Sunday night football game. Marcus Harazin says, Liv's first singles match should have been on the main card instead of that six-man tag that had no build. Did they even announce that tag match? Yeah, of course, Liv Morgan and Carmella got pushed to the pushed off the main card, I should say. I mean, look, the six-man tag, yeah, no build, but or, I mean, no, but it was obviously necessary because then what we're going to see later in the night is Bobby Lashley is going to cut a backstage promo that Issa kind of alluded to where he's just saying, you know, you stole it with the Money in the Bank. You know, now, you know, you stole it out here and challenges Big E. Actually, even says, I have it underlined, called Big E. He says he's Big E's a chicken shit if Big E won't face him one-on-one with everybody healthy, everybody aware of when we're fighting. And Big E would later respond and say, all right, 8 p.m. in the ring. That's how we're kicking off Raw. Everybody knows everybody who's coming now. No extracurriculars, no New Day. So trying to pop a number again. Raw is going to start 8 p.m. with a title match, a rematch between Big E and Bobby Lashley. We'll see. It's starting to turn into like Saturday night's main event. We got to load it all up in the front of the show.
I included Bobby Lashley saying shit, the audio issues, the big pyro in the beginning in my rating for the extremeness of tonight. I just want you guys to know.
Thank you for clarifying that.
You will.
Now it deserves a five. Now that I know that, it deserved the five. I get it.
Fair enough. Okay. Fair enough. All right, up next, we would get a match that we that was advertised, and that is the Street Profits up against the Usos. Story here is Ford, Montez Ford, injured, not at 100%. This is a fun, I don't think these four could have a bad match. I mean, they would have to really try and stumble and fumble to screw this one up. A very athletic, fun match to watch, fast pace in a lot of ways. Ultimately, though, we'd see the double Uso splash on Montez Ford for the victory, and the Usos retaining. Issa, I gotta believe you're all good with the bloodline here retaining, right? There's no other option.
Oh, 1,000%. But I'm here for this feud. I'm absolutely, I think they have such good chemistry. I do believe that we did this with Montez Ford in recent memory. Maybe it was when Zelina Vega poisoned him. You guys remember back in the back in the pandemic days? They did that where he tried to wrestle a tag match, but he really couldn't wrestle. So I was having a little bit of deja vu there. But overall, all four of these guys are great. And I wouldn't mind this feud continuing.
Me too. That's how I came out of this, and that I want to see this match again. I just love when these two teams get time. I mean, Montez Ford just stole the show on this one for me. I thought, and this match eventually got a "This is awesome" chant, and it was directly attached to just Montez Ford diving to the outside and just going crazy in this comeback. And I thought everybody was great in this match, but Ford really did stand out to me and shine. And he was the focal point of this match in terms of his ribs being injured and him not being able to pull it out at the end. So I thought they told a good story.
Yeah, I'm always impressed when anybody pulls off. We haven't seen a ton when they pull off that, when they flip and go actually over the turnbuckle and over the post. Yeah. I mean, that's an athletic feat that everybody this day and age does a suicide dive through the middle of the ropes. That's kind of become like, okay, you can do that. But like the going over the turnbuckle, going over the post, you gotta have your ball strapped on for that. Manscaped coming soon, by the way.
I love it.
Too early for the plug. Stella Dustin Lopez, $4.99. All I got out of this is that Montez singles run is coming sooner than later.
I hope not. Like, I'd be glad if he got a singles run anytime, but I love the Street Profits. I think there's a story to be told with Take Back Season. They still haven't fulfilled that, so I want to see them have at least one more run. Then you could maybe split them up.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, I agree. And the tag team division needs major help. So breaking up another one of your original tag teams will probably be a big mistake right now.
Absolutely. All right. Up next, women's match here. Alexa Bliss up against Charlotte. Of course, there's been a big backstory with this. There's been dolls and playgrounds and a little bit of work shooting. This match starts Alexa Bliss kind of one step ahead of Charlotte in the opening moments, kind of frustrating Charlotte. She'd eventually regain control and really just take and use her power and size on Bliss for quite a while. There was a really cool sequence. Charlotte tried to hit the natural selection. Alexa Bliss rolled through it. This was followed by a really fun sequence of two counts. Charlotte getting frustrated that she couldn't put it away. But in the end, ultimately, though, Charlotte's going to finally hit natural selection. She's going to get that, hit the win. After the match is really where the drama takes place, guys and girls. It's the dismemberment of Lily. Charlotte just rips poor Lily. I mean, it is just a plush burial ground here. ripping apart Lily, stuffing everywhere. It's like a scene out of Toy Story 4, and we're in the commentary selling it. It's nuts. Then Bliss gets up. She's brawling with Charlotte. Charlotte ends up slamming Bliss through the announce table. Charlotte walks off, and then we get this big moment of drama, this morning, as Bliss rises up from behind the commentary desk, picks up the pieces, is mourning, is crying with Lily. You know, it's like, you know, Tom Hanks, Wilson, volleyball kind of feels, and then it starts to get potentially demonic because she's screaming. I don't know if you guys saw this. She's screaming and having like this cry, and what I think looks like a Mentos is in her mouth.
Yeah, I think it's an Alka-Seltzer so that she can get more dizzy.
Okay.
It was an
Alka-Seltzer.
I thought she had rabies.
The match was good. I really enjoyed the match. Yeah. And I've actually been like, I've been easier than Raj has. And I don't know necessarily where both of you stand on all this stuff. I've been easier to accept some of the Bliss carrying on the magic from the Bray Wyatt. You know, she's just carrying it on. The match was good. This after the match, I don't know what to make of this. This kind of was awkward to me. Who wants to go on for that one?
Speaking of awkward, Jesus.
Speaking of awkward, neither one. Listen,
sorry, I should have called on one of you.
Yeah, well, we don't watch Raw. You know, you have to watch Raw. We don't have to. So no, listen. I personally liked the match itself, and it was like we saw a lot of shades of the old Alexa. It was good to see her wrestling again, right? Like no doll winking, no nothing. It was just Alexa wrestling. Also pointing out her gear tonight was on point. She had the crowd behind her. She got a nice hometown pop when she came out. I appreciated that. Charlotte also looked very on point. They have really good in-ring chemistry. So the match, I wasn't mad at. And then it just got super weird. But I couldn't help but to feel a little sad. Alexa's acting is so on point that before the rabies kicked in, she was convincing me that I was legit sad. I'm like, oh, no. And the crowd is chanting, thank you, Lily.
Yes, come thank on. You. Yeah. Yes. Thank you for Brown. I'm glad we didn't leave that out.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I was like, this doll is so over. But then it just got super weird towards like when she was going up the ramp. But I have to give Alexa a lot of credit. She's very committed. And that acting that she pulled when she was like trying to pick up the pieces of her Lily, it was amazing. She got the crowd to back her up. It was good, but I feel weird about it. I almost was wanted her to come out as the old Alexa from under the table once the doll was broken. That's what I was hoping for, but that's definitely not what we got.
Yeah, I mean, objectively speaking, this Alexa Bliss character has not been my favorite thing, but again, objectively speaking, it's working on many metrics in terms of the crowd seems to really be into this. This is the third instance now in a row that we've seen the crowd really be into this doll where they're chanting, thank you, Lily. On Monday, they were chanting for Charlie. The week before, they were chanting for Lily. So they're really into the irony of this act. So it is working in terms of that. And if you believe Alexa Bliss, she said that the doll is sold out. So maybe that's why she was so sad. The dolls are sold out. She can't get herself another one. So this doll is dead. She's got nothing else. So it was weird. It's not my favorite thing. If I was to explain this to somebody that these two grown women were fighting and then one of the women lost her doll and started crying, that would sound ridiculous. But so would, oh, there's this guy who's an undead zombie. No, believe me, it's really cool. Like, that sounds ridiculous too. So this is one of those ridiculous storylines that WWE's managed to connect with people. And yes, this was a hot audience, but this has been working with people for a while.
So there you have it. Alexa Bliss should have been.
Lily's going to come back all sewn up like Chucky. Like, you know, we have the Child's Play TV series happening right now. So now we're going to get a real super beat up looking Lily.
Absolutely.
So it's a third version of this.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, Alexa Bliss was supposed to be foaming at the mouth. That did not happen. But fellas, if you want your lady foaming at the mouth, please let me give you some love about Manscaped. And Issa, I'm going to call on you in a minute. So make sure you have all of your experiences documented and ready to share here. Manscaped, if you guys have not heard about it, if you have not, I don't know where you've been, but if you finally tune into this podcast, Manscaped, a wonderful friend and sponsor of this podcast, and we were happy to have them sponsored because it's a product. They sent it to Alfred. They sent it to me. They sent it to Rush, to Jack. We've all fallen in love. We've all become Manscaped loyalists, and I'm talking about it offers precision engineered tools for the family jewels, the brand new lawnmower 4.0, four, baby, not the three, not the two, not the one, the 4.0. just over 2 million men worldwide have now trusted Manscaped for the very delicate operation that is keeping yourself nice and groomed below the waist. And right now we have a special code, WINC20 at manscaped.com. That's right, WINC20. And you're going to get 20% off free worldwide shipping. Doesn't matter where you are. We are not going to be prejudiced. You don't have to just be in the States. You can be anywhere. We want to make sure your balls are taken care of. Manscaped.com. Use the code WINC20. And Manscaped, look, it's one of the things, the trimmers, they got the LED light on it, which that's very important. You know, it's got an LED 4000K light on it because, I mean, you know, even if you have a nice well-lit bathroom or whatever, I mean, still, you're doing some crazy, you know, spikely angles trying to get this stuff right. So it's got that. It's got the nice end of it, the on the blade. No nick, no cuts, no blading yourself the hard way. None of that has to happen here. That's just not the bathroom time does not have to be painful. It's supposed to be a fun, enjoyable experience to then set up the better fun, enjoyable experience. I was one of the first people that got to try the Lawnmower 4.0. They sent me shipped it to me right here. And I'll tell you, I was excited because I'd already used the previous products and I knew that they work. So I had no doubt about this one. And it takes it all to a new level. It makes sure that when you are doing all of your body trimming, all of your grooming, that you are doing it right. You're doing it efficiently. Simple cleanup, wireless charging. So it's great for the guy on the go as well. They got the travel bag. I mean, Alfred, you got the travel bag. You got the shears. You got all the product now. You got the cologne. You got the ball deodorant. They got it all.
I've got everything. It's right here.
The cologne.
It's some of my favorite stuff. This is why this room smells so good right now, because of this. And I just
Alfred, are you doing the podcast in the bathroom? Why do you have the products right next to you?
Are
you shaving your living room while you're watching football? What's happening?
I cannot confirm or deny where I'm doing this podcast. All you need to know is that I have Manscaped right here in arm's reach all the time, always ready to go. Manscaped products are always within an arm's reach of Alfred Kenoa. That's how good this product is.
Now, Issa, we often don't get to have a female to chime in. I mean, the whole point of Manscaped is, again, to groom yourself, to make yourself, you know, more appealing, more attractive, more ready to go, for a lady or for whoever. But in this case, we're going to say for lady. Like, I mean, you know, if you're with a guy and he's not groomed, I gotta imagine that there's no ladywood happening. That's not happening on your end.
No, it's gross. Shave your balls, please. You know who probably uses Manscaped? Finn Balor. There was a couple of camera angles in which you could see he is very well manscaped tonight. So Finn Balor is probably lawn mowing, whatever it is that you call it, 5.0, 10.0. Yeah, please shave your balls, please.
There we go. Oh, that's all the PSA you need. That's all the PSA you need. WINC20. Save 20% plus free shipping, manscaped.com. And we thank them, of course, for being longstanding supporters and partners and sponsors of this podcast. All right. Let's pick back up to our regular schedule program. Here we go now. I have so much fun doing this. Jeff Hardy versus Sheamus versus Damian Priest, your United States champion. Triple threat action here. Not quite sure if we need to have a triple threat, but we're going to get it. And it's a fun one as well. And I mean, again, you know, this one had, you know, things got a little fast paced. They got a little, you know, a little slip up here, a little slip up there, but all three men professional regained control when they had to. Kind of a constant theme was trying to keep Jeff Hardy out of the fold. Sheamus immediately levels and takes Hardy out of the ring right at the sound of the bell. Another highlight, another GIF moment is Sheamus up on the top rope doing his best Jeff Hardy dance impersonation.
That was great.
You can put a lot of fun captions to that. Some great near falls. And then finally, Priest is actually going to roll up a schoolboy roll up on Sheamus for the win. I know we're all Damian Priest supporters. Issa, I got to think here. If we look at the 2021 booking and how consistent it has been for Damian Priest, from nice showing at the Rumble to obviously the Bad Bunny celebrity interaction with Mania, which that handled really well, now a United States champion. I mean, if this keeps up at this pace and he stays healthy, I mean, I got to think with Big E as champion, with one of the up-and-coming stars having gotten the payoff.
Say it, Royal Rumble winner. Say it already.
He's in line, right? He is in line for Royal Rumble.
Now, does he get Royal Rumble or King of the Ring? Do they use King of the Ring on him, or do they wait until Royal Rumble?
No, he's not going to be a king. He's going to win the Royal Rumble. That's a bigger deal, in my opinion. I mean, it's not like they've done much with the last two King of the Ring winners. You know, I would rather him win the Rumble. Yeah, Justin, I'm so happy with how they're treating him. I didn't like that he won with a roll-up. I will say that. That's probably my only criticism that I have about this match. And I always give WWE a lot of crap for their camera work, but in this match, they did a lot of really cool angles in which you didn't see the other guy coming from out of nowhere, yeah. and it took you by surprise. There was a couple of really close finish there that I thought Damian Priest was actually going to lose the title, so they did an awesome job. Sheamus is so freaking underrated. He is so good, and I wish more people gave him like the credit that he deserves. He was so entertaining throughout this entire match. And Damian Priest, he just looks really good, and the more time that he spends at United States Champion, you can see him getting more comfortable with his own character, with the title ring. I just need him to move on from Sheamus, and I need to see him in a new feud, and I'm hoping that the upcoming draft really helps him out and build some feud that can really kind of build what we're talking about. King of the Ring, Royal Rumble winner, whatever it is, we need to see him in a couple of really hot feuds.
Yeah, I feel like Damian Priest is in like the Drew McIntyre position of where he was.
Hey,
I know you don't like it, but this is good.
You stop right now. You stop right now. You do not compare him to Drew McIntyre. Thank you.
Heading into the Royal Rumble, like McIntyre seemed like he's a hot guy, and like, wow, this guy might win the Royal Rumble because like he's the one guy they've like taken a vested interest in that he's protected. He does stand out on the roster. He's winning these big matches. He actually beat Drew McIntyre. So I feel like he's the one guy that they've now really gone in there in terms of somebody who they haven't made yet. And so it's looking good for him. But I will say, Jeff Hardy was super over in here. He's a quintessential guy who's more over than his push in terms of this place is going crazy for him. And it was really like a fever pitch for him to win this match, which did not happen.
Yeah, I'm not going to try to retell the play-by-play of it because a lot of spots are running through. But there was a false finish where it looked like Hardy might be grabbing it, and the place went banana. They were in favor. They were certainly Priest is over, but Jeff Hardy, like you said, Alfred, he's still, greater than what his push is. WWE has no plans to make Jeff Hardy a champion again, it would seem. Right. They're just utilizing him as however they want to, until he probably inevitably joins his brother, whenever that can contractually happen. But yeah, I mean, that fun match. The comparison to McIntyre is, despite Issa's,
what's wrong with both of you? If I see Damian Priest cutting promos backstage about the history of the Taino Indios in Puerto Rico, I'm gonna be so pissed off.
Yeah, no, we're Issa, look, about the character. I'm not saying that he has a sword instead of a bow and arrow.
I know.
I was gonna say one's a fencer, one's an archer. It's medieval times here.
No, I get where you guys are coming from. It's just that you're talking about Royal Rumble that was like in 2019, and as wrestling fans, we're supposed to already forgotten about that, you know?
Every year
we're supposed to reset.
My fantasy booking would be, though, because obviously he can't, I'm not a fan of still being the mid-card champion and then being thrusted into the world title picture. I don't like that right. Warrior Hogan kind of situation. I just don't. Do the job, hand that title off before you go on. So, I mean, to me, if we're looking at a timeline of by next Mania season, trying to have Damian Priest as a serious consideration as for the world title, I mean, they seem to be hitting the very quick reset button on Karrion Kross. They quickly realize whatever, they're resetting Kross. He's doing promos. He's racking up wins, albeit if it's on main event. But it seems like they are trying to recorrect themselves to launch Karrion Kross properly on the main roster. We'll see which brand he goes to, if he does anywhere. Let him come out of nowhere and challenge Priest and eventually be the one that takes the U.S. title off Priest. Now you've all of a sudden made us forget about losing to Jeff Hardy on a Raw debut, and now he's got a mid-card title, and hopefully he's got his ring gear situation figured out. So he's starting to become a guy that's getting treated the way he should, and then Priest goes on, and again, a Rumble win. So that would be my fantasy booking.
I wouldn't be mad at that booking, especially because we did see them. Damian Priest farewell match in NXT was against Karrion Kross, and it was a hell of a match. So I wouldn't mind them running it again in the main roster. Also, I really appreciated the show of respect between Priest and Jeff Hardy towards the end of the match. Priest kind of like, you know, bowed down. Jeff Hardy shot the imaginary arrow. It was a feel-good moment. The crowd loved it, too, with them being so behind Jeff Hardy.
Absolutely. And, you know, those little things, Issa, that's, you know, again, if Jeff Hardy's time is, you know, on a clock with WWE, those are little things that, you know, he probably wasn't even instructed to do, just him doing that because he has such credibility to the audience, him doing that. If you weren't cheering Damian, if you were cheering for Hardy and you weren't cheering for Priest to win that match, that's something that makes you go, okay, well, maybe tomorrow night I'll cheer Priest because Jeff Hardy just made him look cool. Just said he's
cool. Well, they should have cheered for Priest tonight. It was his birthday.
Yeah. Oh, well, but it's actually really fortunate that Jeff Hardy was this over and they went. I don't know if this was an audible or not, but it's really good that Jeff Hardy did end up giving his blessing to Damian Priest, because it didn't work in terms of transferring that heat to Damian Priest. It's not like one of those things where the fans were so mad that they just booed him anyway. They were like, okay, you know, we like this guy. He beat our guy, so we'll give him more respect.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Great point. So we've seen that backfire before.
Yeah.
Antoine Fair, $5. Shave your junk. I'm dead. You can't type what Issa said, so I had to change it. Oh. That was a good soundbite.
Oh, no.
Alfred, what's... No, that's a good soundbite.
The Green Bay Packers are in field goal position, ladies and gentlemen. Three more seconds.
Yeah, we can see it. You're glowing right now, Alfred. Like, your face looks like you just...
We should just pause the wrestling talk and just let you, like, experience this.
I can be a professional. They're just getting ready to kick a field goal. We'll see what happens.
We'll take a drink break real quick. If you need to absorb this.
Yeah. Get it together, man.
Mason Crosby is getting ready to kick. Who knows if they're going to freeze him or not, but I'm sure everything is going to turn out just fine. 3 seconds left.
It's overrated to freeze a veteran. Like, Mason Crosby has been kicking forever.
I'll take a shot if your Green Bay Packers win. I'm ready.
What do you got, Issa? Sex? What do you get? Yourself? You get tequila.
I have Grey Goose.
Oh, you have Grey Goose. Oh, good girl.
Your favorite. Good your girl. Favorite.
Great.
Thank you.
Pablo chimes in. Issa is my tribal chief. Justin, Alfred, you all doing a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pablo. Thank you.
High praise.
I've been acknowledged.
Alonzo, it's not a football. Then stop watching, Alonzo. Hey, Alonzo, guess what? It's my podcast. It's our podcast. If I want to ask Alfred what he's doing right now with 3 seconds to go, I can. You can sign off. Good day, sir.
The kick is up and it's good. 51 yards. Mason Crosby. Green Bay Packers win 30-28. Go Pack. Go.
There it is.
Oh my God.
There it is. Wait.
On the road.
All right, cheers.
Cheers.
Hey, I love it. I wish I had
it. Let's go. You need a shot. You put your alcohol away to have your manscape on the table and you can have a drink.
Ball cream or vodka? I'll leave the ball cream here.
Oh my God. They're never going to let us do a podcast together again. Oh.
That's what Raj gets for traveling. All right. I don't even know. I lost my notes. Where are we on the show? Hang on. Here we are.
Talking about Priest.
Yeah, here we are. All right. Up next, Bianca Belair up against Becky Lynch. Of course, backstory here. If you've not been following the product closely, supposed to be Bianca and Sasha at SummerSlam. Sasha all of a sudden couldn't compete. No real explanation given. Becky returns for the first time after a year and a half. And in 26 seconds, she beats and takes the title from Bianca Belair. So here, Bianca's thinking she's going to have a fair shot. She's got time to prep. She's getting her title back. I'm not going to lie. I thought for a minute they were going to flip the switch and we were going to have another 26 second, like Bianca was going to beat Becky in 26 seconds or something.
That's what it looked like.
they teased us with that emotion. That did not happen. Crowd is very split. WWE seemed to hand out both EST and the man signs, which I'm okay with. I mean, cause Becky, her character, while it's a little more aggressive, it's it's not too far off from what she was when she was on the face side of the fence going against heel. She's just kind of an amped up badass bitch, badass asshole. So like, I don't mind if you already know the crowd's gonna be split. I don't mind them encouraging them to have signs for both. And the crowd bought into it. There was competing chants from the Columbus crowd all night. Bianca, I tweeted, it's so damn athletic. Becky has not lost a step, to her credit, for being out for as long as she has. And it just looks like we get this great match, these two ladies and Alfred. It looks like Bianca, she might finally have this in panned. And then all of a sudden, here's Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks shows up and just beats her down and then attacks Becky. So we got another triple threat situation on our hands.
Yeah, this was an excellent match. And I really did like how the crowd was split. And Becky Lynch played it so great as a heel, where it's almost like she's playing it like her popularity is starting to wane, to where when they were saying, let's go, Becky, she's like desperately like, yes, yes. And then they say EST. And then she's like, no, don't cheer for her. And so she was doing a great job. I thought Bianca was excellent. For as great of a match as this was, it does suck that it was a disqualification. But I have no problem with that in the grand scheme of things, because going into this, it's like, Bianca is your top star. Becky is a top star coming back. Do you beat Bianca Belair and just keep beating her? And to get Becky over, is that going to help Bianca? But Sasha Banks coming into the fray, I think, really helps in terms of the storyline and protecting these two in their first match. So I'm looking forward to the triple threat match they're going to have. And I thought this was a really good match.
Issa?
Oh, I agree. I loved every second of this match. Bianca Belair is so freaking impressive. Becky Lynch has... It's just, you could never tell that she was gone for that long, right? Like, I was looking for, Becky's my favorite. I was looking forward to just seeing a real match from her, and she was better than ever. Love the white gear. Reminded me very much of Seth coming out of that SummerSlam 2015 in all white. It was beautiful. Love that Sasha came back. I know a lot of people are kind of mixing the reaction, but Sasha just disappeared from the equation and we never talked about her, and that was driving me absolutely insane. So it made sense. I really want this triple threat. I'm afraid that we teased it and we're going to split them in the draft and then we're not going to see it. And just the tease of it, it's like playing just the tip with us. Don't do that. Yeah. Okay. Don't do that. I need this match.
Don't shave your balls with Manscaped and then just do the tip.
I need this match. Please, WWE, make it happen. I thought overall it was a lot of fun. The crowd definitely made it, the atmosphere. And I just love how far Bianca has come as a star. If you think about it, the fact that she's going face to face with Becky Lynch and she has more than 50% of the crowd on her side against a returning Becky Lynch goes to speak wonders about how much Bianca has done in the last year.
Yes.
Yeah, and to your point, I mean, I hope that, we've seen how quickly the booking can change. I hope that they have a plan, and that they don't disrupt this in the draft to use it as a cheap way out not to pay this off right now. If they're not ready for any of the three women to lose again, and then they try to run from it, we'll see. I hope not. And that's kind of what worried me going, and this will kind of segue into the main event here in a second. That's what kind of worries me again about the show in general, going into it tonight, was like, you know, you have Saudi Arabia coming up in a month, and then you have the draft coming up in a week. It's like, this show is just the either, what can we get done and then put it in the, file it in the, I completed that assignment folder,
right?
Or what can we just completely just disregard because we're gonna escape from it through the draft. I was worried about the show for those reasons, and we'll see. Tomorrow is gonna be all about a world title rematch. I hope that they don't pull the title back off of Big E, but I'm not willing to lay money down on Russell Rumble to say that it won't happen.
Right.
It shouldn't happen, but anything is possible with this company. They think week to week, and I think what you're speaking to, Justin, is the fact that they don't have anything long term. They tend to just kind of be very reactionary and try to get things done in the moment rather than, okay, how do we go from A, B, C, D to WrestleMania? They don't have that plan, so every week is going to be different.
Every week's different, and then, like I said, you have the Saudi factor in a month, you have the draft in a week, Nick Khan's hanging around, AEW's popping big numbers. We don't know what shit could happen tomorrow. You just don't know.
This is the one that makes perfect sense, and that's probably the one that they'll screw up, right? You look at Charlotte and Alexa and you go, I don't know what that was. Sasha coming in, interrupting this match that should have been her opportunity to begin with, makes all the sense in the world, and I have a feeling that that's what they're going to completely screw up. The one thing that's just completely booked and ready for you to go, that's what they'll probably screw up.
Yeah, it's crazy times. Brett Murphy, $5. Yay, Packers win. Whoopee-doo. Yankees in the other hand swept Boston. That's the real sports.
Yes. Oh, that's great too. Yes, absolutely.
Always a go good time go. When that happens.
Issa, you still a season ticket holder with the Yanks?
No. I gave them up in 2020. I got to get them back.
Okay.
Well, you know, we didn't have baseball, so I paused it, basically.
No, it's actually not a bad business move. I mean, you know, no, I mean, if you get, you right. know, I don't blame you on that one.
Because they still wanted to charge you for it. You know that, right? Like, they still wanted to charge us the full price for the season in 2020. And they were like, we'll just credit you for the next season. And yeah. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to pause it and I'll resume when things are normal. So,
well, full disclosure and putting Issa over, I asked her that because talk about charging. She did not. And I was very ready to whatever. My dad, a huge baseball fan. My dad had never been to New York City, never been to Yankee Stadium. I wanted to take him to Yankee Stadium for a milestone birthday. Did. And Issa very graciously gave me her season tickets for a game to take him, did not accept one damn cent from me, which I never forget. And so I asked you. Yes. Oh. No, I'm dead. That was, I mean, I was ready to give you whatever, you know, and you did not ask for a damn dollar from me, which I was like,
they were damn good seats too.
They were. We were right on the third base line. We were just past third base in the left field in the line there. It was awesome experience. And I never forget that. I was always,
listen, very, very, that's awesome. My favorite thing to do in the whole wide world is fly my dad up to New York and take him to Yankee Stadium. So I know what that meant to you. So yeah. I'm not going to charge you for that. You're my buddy. Come on.
I appreciate that's that. Awesome. I appreciate that. Another free chat here was fun. This podcast today is the best in Ross travel. Yeah. Well, I mean, Alfred's not with us tomorrow. Issa's back tomorrow. It's Issa, myself, and Jack tomorrow. So we'll really be able to kick Rawls' ass. Once we see what happens there. Pablo already showed this for him, but we'll let him. You three are awesome. He had another one. Where's Pablo at? Where's Pablo?
Yeah, find the other one, please. That's the important one.
Oh, it's a rhythm. Yeah,
he can get acknowledged twice. Is there a higher form of being acknowledged?
What did Roman Reigns say in that main event? All day, every day. We acknowledge all day, every day.
Best in the smoker's world, $2. Alfred, I'm a Bears fan. I need a hug.
You and Justin Fields, but there are better days ahead for Justin Fields. I think he's going to be very talented. My heart has never sank so far during a draft than when the Bears drafted Justin Fields, so that's a good sign. But he looked awful today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if they would have just started Fields in the preseason, maybe they would have been a little better affair for this one.
Don't worry, guys. You still got Andy Dalton, so all is not lost.
And Bernie in DC goes, Pablo paying for Issa season tickets 2022.
Thank you, Pablo. Thank you.
Very good. All right, let's go into our main event now. Roman Reigns defending against the Demon Finn Balor. Of course, we get the and mind you, again, Peacock. I have Xfinity Comcast still. I'm still one of the people that still has cable. I have it, and I have that, and I have every other streaming service, because between a wife and two kids, you can never have enough things. You're going to piss somebody off if you don't have one of them. So I pay several hundred dollars to still have cable. Okay? And so I'm able to speak into the voice remote and go, Peacock, and it shows up. Okay? I figure I'm already doing what I got to do. And here I am trying to watch the show, and several times during entrances and other pivotal points, they just cut away mid-commentary, and I got to watch 3 minutes of how there's a Frogger reality American Ninja Warrior combat show, and I got to watch this
medicine commercials.
Oh, my goodness. I'm trying to watch the Roman Reigns entrance, and I'm having to watch commercials. And somebody's like, well, aren't you paying for the non-commercial tier? And I'm like, I'm paying $300-something to have Comcast cable internet and a landline I don't use. Could I please just watch my damn show without having to see these? I made a note that I just wanted to speak sternly to the people of Peacock if they're watching. There it is. Okay, so we got Roman versus the Demon. this is they're fighting. They fight out to the pre-show desk in the crowd. Roman does COVID precautions. He has his mask on while he's fighting. I'm not going to knock it because I mean, we all know why he would be compromised, and I get it. And he's out there performing. I guess what I'm trying to get at, I'm kind of surprised they opted to do that spot, knowing that that spot would then require and have him put the mask on. Like, I don't think the match needed them to go out into the crowd to do that, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
I totally get the precaution. I get him as the person in real life. So I'm just kind of surprised they went that, because at the end of the day, they really held no real relevance to the match. They could have done something equivalent of Extreme still within the barricade of their safe, environment. So that,
yeah,
I don't know about you guys, but that kind of threw me that they would just, they did that. Cause I felt that was a little bit of a distraction.
I agree.
I popped for the mask, not gonna lie. But I do feel that with it being called Extreme Rules and such a lack of Extreme Rule matches, they try to do everything that they could in order for the crowd to be happy at this point, and I have a feeling that's why. But I agree with you, Justin. Once you see what they did in the crowd, it was like that spot wasn't really necessary, but at the same time, they had to pull out all of the stops here. I wish we would have had a little more extremeness in the triple threat, because with it being a triple threat, you could have done a couple of these things without having to put Roman Reigns onto the crowd.
Yeah, and Bear Hudson, $5. Roman Reigns wearing a mask while brawling through the crowd says so many things, and Pat with the Bane reference was great. Did Cena call Finn the W?
Is that a reference to the contract signing?
No, it's a reference to the fact that the ring came undone and you couldn't see what happened. Come on, guys.
Okay.
So we come back to the ring finally, and looks like the Demon's got a lot of things in hand. Then the Usos come out, they beat them up, they're beating them down. It's just numbers all in the Demon. Roman spears the Demon through the barricade. The Demon looks like he's dead face down. All of a sudden, red lights, heartbeat. The Demon, the heartbeat. He's being resurrected. He rises back up. He does a missile dropkick, which puts Roman through a table. And then he goes to the top for the coup de grace. And the ropes break. And he falls. Roman hits a spear. Roman Reigns retains, gets the victory. I don't think any of us have any doubts of Roman retaining. That's kind of where the Saudi show kind of becomes like this, you know, it's there, it's him versus Brock. So it's just like, all right, how do we just do this? I don't know. Issa, this was, I know Roman's your boy, and I'm a Roman fan too, but this was very Papa Shango.
Yeah.
The Demon could resurrect. The heartbeat and the mystical powers of the Demon could resurrect him after a 3-on-1. But the mystical powers couldn't stabilize the top rope.
Yeah, and we never seen the Demon pull this off before. So to me, this didn't feel like the real Demon. I made this reference before. I'll make it again. You know the movie Us, when your real person has like a basement twin? I feel like this was the Demon's basement twin. Like, he didn't crawl to the ring. He was doing the most. And then this whole music, red lights, heartbeat, weird thing that he pulled off, we never seen the Demon do that. So to me, this feels like a parody of the Demon, or almost Finn Balor trolling, right? That's what I got out of that. And maybe that's why it cost him. I'm not too sure. I don't think we needed that. With the brutal attack of the Usos and other things, I don't know. I felt very confused. I thought maybe I consumed too much ice cream before the match started because I had to like go back and look at the packaging and check the ingredients. No, these are the same edibles. I mean ice cream that I eat all the time. So it wasn't me. I know that. I guess this is their way of protecting the Demon, but we didn't get an explanation as to what happened. No Brock. It was confusing. The match itself, awesome, but Roman Reigns in no disqualification or Extreme Rules matches always brings out the best in him, and Finn Balor stood toe-to-toe with him, so of course there's that, but the rest, it just got super weird for me.
Yeah, The finish was enough to ruin the match for me in terms of I left with a bad taste in my mouth, and my exact words just instinctively after watching that, looking at Finn Balor, Balor the Demon, I was like, what an idiot. Like the character in terms of, because it's not like he's been doing this red light sequence for weeks and this is his finishing move. And then one night it didn't work. And so it's shocking and maybe it would get like an emotional reaction. This is something that nobody was familiar with that he did. And it's just like, what is he doing? And so you're thinking, you go from thinking, what is he doing, to where when he screws it up, it's like, yeah, what the hell was he doing? So it doesn't do him any favors. I thought this was the worst night in the history of the Demon by far. And I just thought, they've just really taken Finn Balor week after week. And I don't think it's a fault of his own, but they've done all these things to undermine him, where whether it was a Cena thing where he kind of looked foolish.
Yeah.
And now this, I just don't think this was a good night for him at all.
I thought his mannerisms as the Demon were completely different as the Demon that we were used to seeing. And I'm very confused as to what he's doing or what entity this Demon is. Maybe this is the Railroad Demon and not like the Demon from Hell, you know, because he said he came from a family of railroad workers. I don't know. I don't know what is happening anymore, but I just didn't like it. This is not anything that we ever seen the Demon. Like the Demon never, from the time that we know him, depended on the music for him to rise up. He was pulling some Undertaker. It was weird. He was doing the most. And
Undertaker would be if it was done right. That's why I said this is Papa Shango. This is Papa Shango.
Exactly. I didn't like it.
It took what was a really good match and ultimately a pretty good show. But that's what we're talking about, is we're talking about this finish. And that's why I started with the news story earlier. And I said we'd segue to this, which is, I wouldn't be surprised if we find out some months, years later from Finn in an interview that Finn walks through the curtain and looks at Vince and goes, what the fuck, man?
I bet he's strangling Vince McMahon as we speak.
I wanted this match to be a Sasha situation. And when they made it on Extreme Rules, I was like, we're going to have a messed up finish. I think we talked about it, Alfred, where I told you, I was like, if it was a regular match, you can have Brock come out, beat them both up, and that way you protect the Demon. Yeah. But because you made an Extreme Rules match, now you booked yourself into a weird corner where you could have made anything else in the card an Extreme Rules match and just leave that one safe. But obviously you also have a return DQ already booked into the show, so the best that you could give us was the and of course they spend so much money on the Fiend lighting that they have to still use it.
And you're right, that would have been the safer way out. We all know Brock is still taking on Roman, so like, just have Brock come out and protect that's been my biggest thing about the Demon, is that Finn Balor doesn't win. And then he becomes the Demon and looks cooler. But then the Demon hasn't had a great track record. I mean, you know, the Demon, I mean, obviously this was unfortunate circumstances, but the Demon wins the Universal title the first time ever. And then he has to, vacate it the next day because he's injured. I mean, they haven't caught a break with him.
Maybe the Demon only works for mid-card titles.
Maybe he's challenging Damian Priest next. I don't know. I'm highlighting this from Facebook. Thanks to everybody watching live on Facebook, from Luke. Luke, I'm not going to pick on you, but I'm just going to like try to just not pompously say, I'm just going to educate you, enlighten you to this. So Luke says, why do I have a feeling that the rope break was a botch? First of all, I can guarantee 101% it was not. That was the finish. If you thought that the Demon's going to the top and he's going to hit the finish and he's supposed to win, and then they just called an audible within a matter of seconds because a rope break. No, that doesn't happen. The ropes are very secure. That's not a thing that happens. It's very obvious. The Demon's up there. He's waiting for his cue. All the ropes, you can hear a sound.
See it in his mannerism. I don't mean to interrupt you, but when he was standing there, you could see Finn expecting it, waiting for it. Yeah. In the way that he was like bracing. You could tell that he was waiting for the ropes to break.
Not to say how the sausage is made or how the magic's done, Luke, but you're asking. I mean, I'm just putting you to rest. It's absolutely the finish. If they're making you doubt it, I guess maybe good on them. But it's absolutely that's the finish. So we're gonna operate on that was the scripted finish, and they intentionally spent the day rehearsing that, and that's what they decided to go with. Again, Roman retaining, not a surprise. He's got Brock in a month, Saudi. That one's not as predictable. That one, that's another one of, okay, God, you don't want to necessarily take the title off Roman right now, but you always want to protect Brock. I could see another kind of Seth Rollins strangulation finish in that one where we do something to some great lengths to protect both men.
I love that that's now a thing, is the strangulation. Like, what level of anger? Are they going to want to strangle Vince McMahon?
That's a rating. That's a rating.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, maybe you'll just want to slap Vince McMahon after this finish.
You have the strangulation, the slap, or throw the title at him like Brock did, remember? Oh, there you go. That's another one. There's a couple of scales here.
You've got spitting in his face like Bret Hart did. You've got punching him out like Bret Hart did. I mean, there's all kinds of levels.
Yes. I just, I'm very disappointed because I don't like to be negative. I'm one of the people that rare breed that enjoys everything right now, WWE, AEW. But I look at my nickname. It's Demon Diva, okay? So I have a very soft spot for the demon in my heart. I really wish they would have not brought him for this. Give Finn another rematch as regular Finn and let him lose clean. He had already lost clean. And just protect a character that, you know, we were all dying to see again. You did it to pop MSG, to pop a rating. For what? For this? Then I would have rather not seen him come back.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the future of Finn Balor is. I mean, you know, him going back to NXT, I thought was a nice stint.
Yeah.
And now he's back to main roster. I don't know what's left. I don't know what else you can do at this point with him. He's one to watch in the draft, I guess, to see what they do. But again, I think they pulled it off better with Bray Wyatt and The Fiend. They pulled off the duality of the two personalities a little bit better, you know.
Definitely.
You know, amazingly. But the Finn demon stuff just doesn't, I don't know. I feel like they've just completely already devalued Finn Balor, and then now the demon falls victim again to faulty ropes. That just seems so trivial of what would take down him. So
Finn has the same predicament that Bray Wyatt did, by the way, in terms of the demon actually was pretty over. They protected the character. People like it. People react to the entrance. He comes off as a big star, and they did something to completely screw him up in a match, just like they did with Bray Wyatt. So it's just, whether it's the fact that they don't have a plan for long-term or the fact that they seem to just not know how to take something that works and double down and make it more successful, it always seems to kind of run into a wall when they have something that clearly works.
I love that you brought that up because I felt disrespected that Roman Reigns came out first. Just throwing that out there. Champion should always come out second.
I agree with that, but WWE goes in a weird format. They actually, more often than not, they send the champion out first. I think their philosophy is we want to grab people's attention with who's coming out first and hold them. But I agree. This is an indie wrestling principle. It still holds true. The heel always goes out first, or the challenger always goes up first if the heel's the champion. Right. I hold to that principle. Sam Austin, 5,000 in some currency. It's buying something somewhere. Vince backstage. Okay. Play the heartbeat sound guy and the entrance music. Vince. Yeah, no. The music made it more weird.
So. It always does.
It always does.
That's what I kept saying. I kept saying it got weird. It got real weird. I don't know what happened. But the match before, it was good. But you know what they say? They always remember the finish.
They do. That's what she said. Deadpool especially party.
Especially if you use Manscaped.
Especially if you use Manscaped. And especially if you start talking during the finish. Just shut up. Don't talk. We don't need to hear what it's like for you. Let her talk.
Great advice.
Deadpool party. Hey, Justin, did y'all talk about Johnny Gargano's contract? It's up on December 3rd. Is he AEW bound? Yeah, I guess that's been floating out there. I forget. I don't have who to source it, so I apologize. But it's been sourced out there that he is coming up before the end of 2021. I don't know. The factor with him, and I knew Johnny once upon a time working with him before he went to WWE. I mean, he's a really good guy. He's a married guy now with his wife, who's not, his contract's not up then. I do think that's significant to a person like him that he would value being in the same company with his wife or wanting to see things through. You know, who knows? And they're getting ready to have a kid. So
yeah, that's the big thing too.
I think it's a relevant factor. You know, this is different than Adam Cole, Britt Baker with no family and, you know, no kids or whatever involved. I do think it's a relevant thing of maybe one to stick around where you're, where the mother of your, of your child. So,
and regardless, they're probably going to be a package deal, I would think, just based on their scenario to wherever they go, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, so you figure with her, if her contract's not up to a certain point, and then if there's a certain built-in time of, you know, she's going to take some time off, obviously, you know, as a new mother. So, yeah, I would agree. I would think that it's like a, they're not going to go anywhere unless they can go together. Mm-hmm. I would feel like, but who knows? We're in crazy times, especially with couples and wrestling and such. I'll throw this one out there because we've talked about this a lot on Wednesdays. Savan, hey Justin, do we see Bray on Dynamite Wednesday night? If there's a Dynamite to see him, this one on Wednesday seems to be like up there and probably.
I saw his tweet earlier of him in the ring with Brody and Daniel Bryan. Like, listen. He's starting to tease some things.
So that's how AEW promotes things, though. That, and it works with their audience in terms of, we're not going to tell you, but we're going to tell you.
The worst kept secrets.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, because Tony Khan spoke about it. It's like, you know, it was a best kept secret when Sting showed up.
Yes.
Nobody knew that was happening back in, like, what was it, December? Sting shows up, best kept secret. But then we find out that, like, TNT was like, hey, dude, we could have capitalized off that. Don't keep secrets from us. So then, since then, it has been the, again, we're not going to promote it, but we're going to kind of promote it over here, you know, type of thing. Bear Hudson, $5. I do think it will be that Cena had some influence in the match, setting up Cena versus Demon at WrestleMania. Can do a WWE mock draft.
In a weird way, that is pretty good long-term storytelling, given the fact that Finn Balor weeks ago said, I'm going to deal with John Cena, and there is a connection with John Cena costing him that contract signing. But boy, would this be a ridiculous way to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't get behind that one. Sorry. Sorry, Bear.
Why not?
What if it is John Cena's fault and they promote this John Cena match and then the match happens, but John Cena's not available to be in the match because he's doing a movie, but John Cena's in the ring, you know what I mean? Kind of like God was that one time.
Kind of like God, yeah.
Like, this is a John Cena character. He's like an invisible guy and Finn Balor has to sell for air.
I mean, this would be a hell of a return. God hasn't performed since like the spring of 06.
Yeah.
When he teamed with Shawn Michaels. This
How
is a hell
does of... he sell the AA? Like, he just like lifts himself up in the air. Like.
There's something here.
Okay.
At least we know he doesn't have to sell the five knuckle shuffle because Cena never hits it anyway.
That is true.
All right. Well, we've ventured from ball grooming to booking God. So I think we'll end it on this one. Pablo, back at it, $5. Look up my Facebook comment. You three have made my Extreme Rules 2021 worth it. So, by the way, who's this Raj guy I hear about? Just messing. Yeah, he's the guy pulling all the puppet strings. I lied. We have another one. Kayla, $5. Kayla, Peacock was messing up again tonight with commercials during Wrestle's entrance. Hope they fix that. Yeah, Kayla, I spoke about it earlier. So I guess there is a tier you can pay that is commercial free where you don't get that. But like again, I thought I was given enough money to NBC via my cable deal that I didn't have to worry about this. Apparently, I'm wrong. But to your point, like they have to coordinate better with WWE of like, okay, WWE for the non-commercial tier, go ahead and show some bullshit 90-second block of, you know, Miz selling a product or what, you know, some of the in-house stuff they do, and then Peacock can insert the commercials for those who have to see the commercials. Don't insert them when your main event entrances are happening. Like, it's just, yeah, I agree. There has to be... I don't know. Unfortunately, the whole rollout has been nasty the whole time.
It has. Yeah, even the trends, it's just all this ugliness about something that they really screwed up.
And like, yeah, I remember when the WWE Network launched, there were issues. They had capacity issues of bandwidth where they were getting more traffic and they had to work it out. But they like they figured it out within 3 or 4 months. You know, like, and I felt like after that they were on a roll This has just been sloppy. And then what gets scary is then when and Alfred, this is in your world of the Forbes world of like, then you start talking about the prospects of like, all right, well, they're really trying to make their profit and loss margin sexy. What if they do sell in a couple of years? And what if one of the people they sell to is NBC? That would make a lot of sense. NBC's already sinking in how many hundreds of millions of dollars already for content. Like, so is this the WWE network? Is this the WWE pay-per-view user experience that we're living with forever? Like, you know, I don't know. It's just, you that can't even, I can't rewind. What the, it's 2021. How can I not rewind?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really hope that they do fix a lot of these problems, because eventually just the idea that, okay, now we're stuck with Peacock in its current form, that's a very scary thought.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can't rewind. Who can't rewind in 2021?
Yeah. I mean, all the gifts people want to put out on there on the pay-per-view, that's a big part of watching on the streaming device.
It is. Yeah. It is. All right. Well, we are we're at an hour and four. I think we just hit our time limit. We did our due justice. We are Omega and Danielson time limit here. Alfred's gonna be gone tomorrow. He's gonna be doing normal things on a Monday night. Issa and I will be watching the 3-hour marathon that is Raw alongside the handsome Jack Farmer, who will love all of it by the nature of his gimmick. It's gonna be fun. We're gonna have some fun. Anthony says, great stream, respect to the hot chick.
Thank you.
She has a name. But hot chick works too. Hot chick, what would you like to promote?
NYC Demon Diva. Go subscribe to my YouTube. Getting close to 15,000.
Hey.
Ooh. Hey.
Alfred.
At This Is Nasty Pro Wrestling Bits, 29 away from 1,000. So let's make it happen, everybody.
There we go. All right. It's been fun. Make sure you comment, like, subscribe, share. Do all the things you're obligated to do in your social media footprint in 2021, unlike rewinding. But everything else, you can do it. We encourage it here. Thanks to her. Thanks to him. Her and me will be back tomorrow night for Raw. We love it. It's great. Thanks to Manscaped.com. Make sure you use the code WINC20. Get your 20% off and free shipping. Shave your balls. That ain't no joke. Shave your balls. We out.
Go, Pat, go.